And in fact, I actually, you know, when I was doing my film Evidence, the Case for NASA UFOs, you know, throughout doing my research throughout the 1990s, one of my dialogues was with a NASA scientist named Dr. Joseph Newth III, who was head of the astrochemistry branch at the Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland. And one of the things he told me was that if you get enough signatures from the American public, you might be able to petition your way onto the shuttle to end this debate. Are there really UFOs, or is everything just dust and debris and space junk? So I decided to, you know, take him up on that.
Well, what's going to happen?
Well, I don't think I'm actually, I mean, I'm a skydiver. I really don't have my fear of going into space, but I think realistically, one day I would like to have a sponsor. I mean, that would be my biggest dream, would be have somebody sponsor me and put me on a Russian rocket onto the space station, but that would cost an awful lot of money. I want to make a point with this. I mean, with my signatures, when I bring them to NASA, I'm actually going to videotape my arriving there, showing them how many people really believe you guys are not telling us the truth, and I'll demonstrate why. For example, when I was talking to Joseph Newth III during our debates about whether we were seeing debris or space junk, firstly, I researched what space junk really is, and it's mostly defined as pieces of small, like at the most 10 centimeters in size, pieces of tin foil. They never throw solar panels and doors and, you know, big trash bins out into space.
Right.
In fact, I found when I researched the shuttle, they rarely ever dump water. They recycle it, and only in the case of emergency they would dump it, because water is very heavy and very expensive to bring out into space. So in the current story, in fact, one of the debates I got in with Joseph Newth III was that he said this, if there are five cameras mounted in the bay, and you can take any two of them that are seeing the same object, and you can triangulate the distance between the two cameras and match them up into, using trigonometry, you can determine the distance between the camera and the object. And when STS-115 was being reported around the, you know, the 19th and 20th of this month, one of the things the NASA spokesman said is that we don't know how far away the objects are, and therefore we don't know how big they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that was just pure bull. I mean, NASA was just pulling the wool over people's eyes, and any good mathematician knows that that's not true. In fact, if you can triangulate the distance between two, using two cameras, you do know how big the objects are, and you consider that the space shuttle orbits the Earth 300 miles above the Earth. The top of the atmosphere is 100 miles, and most junk, which is tin foil and very tiny pieces of debris, would fall and decay into much lower orbits. You would never see anything that far away from the shuttle. If the shuttle's at 300 miles and your space junk is even 50 miles away, you're not going to see it.
No, even a handful of tin foil, you wouldn't see it.
And then you have to wonder, the other thing is, why, when space junk is routine, it's something astronauts are trained to see, why this mission did they suddenly make a big deal out of space junk? Like, all of a sudden, in fact, one of the reports was, and Fox News National was reporting this very distinctly differently than CNN and NBC and ABC. On Fox National, one of the astronauts said, quote, that this is very serious. There's an object outside, and it's passing us. And he was very alarmed and very serious. I don't believe an astronaut would be that alarmed over a piece of space junk. In fact, for the object to be passing them, the shuttle is going prograde orbits around the Earth with the motion of gravity at 18,000 miles an hour, making 90-minute orbits. So if you're passing the shuttle, you have to have internal energy, or you're a meteorite. And meteorites are doing 35, 45,000 miles an hour, and they go streaking by, and you can barely, in fact, you don't even see them, because you don't see them until they strike the top of the atmosphere. They're a kind of void in the area where the shuttle is. The shuttle is 200 miles above the top of the atmosphere. So you really got to wonder what these guys were seeing. And then going into my source, Donald Ratch, he actually goes to the NASA library, and has been sending me videotapes starting from STS-114, which was the first mission after the big accident, two summers ago. And during that mission, an amazing object showed up that I've been studying and zooming in on. It's actually in my Dan Aykroyd movie. It looks to me like a golden mean rectangle. It has the perfect dimensions, 1 to 1.618 dimensions of a golden mean rectangle, and I immediately thought of, you know, Arthur C. Clarke's movie, you know, 2001 and 2010, and the golden rectangles that were appearing you know, the mysterious objects that, that signify a higher intelligence in the universe. And this thing is luminous. It's a golden mean rectangle. It has a pulse. It's very bright. And from a distance, it would be cylindrical. Well,
right.
During STS-115, the reports were that the object was cylindrical. Those were some of the early reports coming in. I was listening as I was traveling from the north, and I was getting calls from friends who were watching the news. And another one was more pill-shaped or disc-shaped. And then you think, okay, then STS-121, Jeff Challenger posted on the Internet this disc-shaped, very translucent, low mass, which are the kind of UFOs I look for. Luminous object just suddenly seems to be going by. And one of the things, first things that NASA says is these are pieces of debris that are floating up off the floor in the shuttle, and when they get close to the camera, they produce this optical illusion. Well, one of the things I did with, for example, on STS-75, the famous tether incident, is I took, you know, my 3CCD video camera, which CCD video cameras have phenomenal depth of field of focus. I mean, phenomenal. You can have a penny right in front of the camera, and when the camera's unzoomed, and 300 miles in the distance, the Earth below is in focus. So your depth of field of focus is phenomenal. So that means you could see something getting close to the lens, but when you zoom in, even on a dime disappears completely from the focal plane of the camera. Now, in the STS-75, you see these things floating around out there. They're all pulsing. They're all going at different velocities, which debris could never do.
Debris goes at the same rate.
It all drifts at the same rate, and that gets into Newton and Galileo, you know, Newtonian physics, unless it has internal energy. And so that was the first thing I noticed. And then it survives this long zoom into the shot, and nothing disappears. In fact, the zoom just keeps going on and on and on, and you hear the astronaut say that he's completely zoomed in, and they're still there, which means they're very far away. They're very distant objects, and that's when we see them going behind the tether. So, again, looking, you know, at STS-115, this most recent story, you know, I think looking at NASA's official definition of space junk, they don't throw the trash out the trash chute. They have a wealth of photography of real space junk, and it's possible. Why were all the astronauts so alarmed, and why did they make a big deal out of space junk if it's something they see on every mission? And then all of a sudden we hear that it's junk, and they come up with some of these photographs, but none of the photographs are identified with actual parts, like in a service manual. This is a trash bag. And the one that someone said was a trash bag, when I looked at it, you know, it's really a beautiful-looking shape, whatever it is.